Hello and welcome to Ex-Tumblr Girls, a podcast hosted by two ex-Tumblr girls turned modern Tumblr women. I'm your host, Tori.
I'm your host, Carly.
Let's talk about Tumblr. We are wearing the same outfit.
This always ends up happening, even though we don't
It's
plan it.
never planned. Like, often on the days that we record, Carly and I like have not spoken like a lot that day, or like we've never FaceTimed that day. Like, we just FaceTimed for a few minutes before this because I was making coffee, but like we do not that you guys can see us to know that we've coordinated, but it always happens.
Yeah, we're both wearing reddish hoodies, so there's the
And
visual for you all.
yeah, and mind you, also, we both wear over-the-ear headphones while we record. So, like, whatever we're wearing, just we happen to look even more like we match because our hair's out of our face, our headphones are on. And we both have jewelry in our faces, so naturally we're twins.
Our periods are also synced up.
That's
So
so true. Dude, I'm not gonna lie. I know that I have premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which we've talked about on the pod before. The PMDD warriors, you guys, you know what the struggle is like. I'm having post period. Want to put my head through a wall week. So I need God to explain that one to me, the week before my period being miserable and the week after. And then naturally having it is miserable as well. So what gives?
I think also Mercury is in retrograde, and that is not helping our chances here.
Okay.
It's in
I
retrograde for
just,
like all of April, so buckle up.
that's hell. Thanks, actually. No, I can feel that given what has been happening with the K-pop tours. I'm having conundrums left and right because I don't know if I mentioned this on the pod before, but I've certainly mentioned that I go to a lot of concerts and I bought tickets to go to Lollapalooza in Chicago. For the first 2 days of the festival, because Stray Kids is playing Friday night. And meanwhile, my other alt group, ATEEZ, just played Coachella, and they announced on their Coachella stage that they're doing a summer tour, and dates got leaked. And if they are correct, ATEEZ is playing New York the day after Stray Kids plays Chicago Lollapalooza. And that is just unrealistic. I cannot do both. And ATEEZ hasn't toured since like a year or two ago, and I really, really want to see them. So, long story short, I'm gonna end up not going to Lollapalooza, but it's okay because another fucking festival just got announced that has everyone good from the Lolla lineup except Stray Kids, and Stray Kids is going on a tour in the fall. So it all works out in the end.
So, do you know what the dates are for the Stray Kids tour?
No. And I'm scared because everyone and their fucking mothers is going to go to All Things Go Festival, which is in Maryland. Headliners Hozier, Renee Rapp, Lofi, Conan Gray.
My
It's
God.
like the Indie Queen Festival, even though two men were in that lineup, they don't count. But Chapel Roan is like a secondary headliner. I'm really scared that Stray Kids is going to tour the East Coast on that weekend because God knows that's my luck. And they play like four dates in the US total.
Well, I hope that they announce the tour dates after Mercury is out of retrograde so that at least is not affecting it.
Yeah, the one good thing that has happened to me during this Mercury retrograde is Maggie Rogers put out a new album, which is amazing. And on the day she put out the album, she did a surprise announcement that she would be playing a few small album release shows, and she played one in Philly. And I got my ass into line at 7:45 in the morning to get tickets for a show for that night, and did in fact get to see Maggie Rogers
Love
at a
that.
1,000 person venue. Meanwhile, the tour she's playing in the fall is for arenas that have like
Wow.
20,000 people in them.
That's crazy.
So I got to see her
And it
play her
changed your
new
life.
album. It literally changed my life. She did a really fun thing where, in addition to playing the new album, which is quite short, she took requests, which meant that, like, she played all of her best songs. But the way that the requests work were that you got to pick a song in exchange for a juicy piece of gossip. So if she liked the gossip you had, then you got to pick a song.
I love that.
I was really hoping I would get called on because I wanted to clown my ex, but no such luck for me.
Damn, that sucks.
But having a podcast is my gossip time. So,
Yeah, we unfortunately can't talk about your ex.
whatever. When we do paywalled episodes one day, I will talk to, if we ever have a Patreon, I will literally talk to them like full first and last names.
We're
Like,
just gonna have a group chat.
literally,
Gonna...
honestly, our listener base is so small, so I would like to call us tight knit, that if we had a Patreon, it would be like three people, and I basically think we should just have a group chat at that point.
Yeah, it would be easier as long as
The
everybody has
top
an
tier of the
iPhone.
Patreon is $10. You have to have an iPhone, and you get to be in a group chat with
Yeah, we're
us.
gatekeeping. We're gatekeeping. I have been literally just farming. Like,
You're on your grind.
am literally, I'm on my grind. This is like how you were with K-pop fan fiction. Like, that's how I feel about my farm, where it's like, I think it's getting to be a problem that I'm like thinking about
Damn.
my farm too much. I'm dreaming about my farm.
Well, I'll have you know, I haven't read any K-pop fan fiction this week.
I'm so proud of
I didn't
you.
read any all weekend. I unfollowed all my fanfic tags.
Wow. You are stronger than I.
Yeah, now I'm just addicted to YouTube again, like a 12-year-old boy. But how's your farm going?
Oh, yes. My farm is going great. I'm almost in year three already in the new one that I started like a few weeks ago. Which is like,
Damn.
I'm not going to say how many hours I put into it because that's private.
That's HIPAA
But I'm loving it. And
information.
yes. And I will put, like, once I have my farm completely decorated, I will post a screenshot to the Instagram so that everybody can tell
Yes.
me how beautiful it is.
You must.
I did want to mention the how deeply hurt I am as a part of the solar eclipse fandom, that the solar
Oh.
eclipse was so sad in my area. I was supposed to have totality, and instead it was cloudy, and so it just got dark for like 5 minutes. And I'm very sad because Wegmans was hyping me up
Oh my God,
for the
yes.
solar eclipse. They were decked out with moons and stars and suns. Like, they had it all, and instead it was cloudy. So I'm a little bit
Yeah.
upset.
The day of the eclipse, I didn't even bother trying to like acquire eclipse glasses or go outside. I was like really busy at work that day, and it started getting dark, and I remember thinking, is it about to rain? And then I was like, oh, solar eclipse. And then it was dark for like an hour
Yeah.
because like the partial, you guys have no idea how much Carly and I talked about this eclipse, because I think we genuinely forgot to bring it up at all in the last episode of the pod, which we recorded the day before. But this eclipse is like a big fucking deal to like everyone and their mothers that I didn't know gave a shit about stuff like eclipses. And
Yeah.
then I started seeing like people I follow post that like this eclipse is like my reminder that like we are part of a universe where we're so lucky, like life is really like so wonderful and so magical, like our planet. And okay, to be fair, it is a very cool scientific fact that Earth is the only planet in our solar system that experiences solar eclipses, because the distance between us and the sun and us and our moon and the moon and the sun is perfect for that to happen. No other planet gets them. But Like, people were really posting that about like seeing it get dark for a few minutes in the state of New Jersey. Like, guys, if anything is going to make you think life is beautiful, something that happens in the state of New Jersey might not be it.
For me, I think the reason why it was like such a big deal this year is because, like, since what was it, 2017, that the last one happened in the US, I think capitalism has been working in overdrive to like make this eclipse like a marketing moment. And I could say that at least in my city, where it was going to be totality, they every single business had something going on that day. We were expecting to get like a ton of people into the area. I don't know if that happened. I don't think it did. Like, I think that was all a lie too.
Speaking of events, not that you could have predicted this one, but there was a fucking earthquake in New
Oh
Jersey.
yeah.
Oh
That
my
is
God.
what should make people appreciate the earth.
This was the goddamn talk of the town for days following because nothing exciting happens in New Jersey. And New Jersey, I'm sure you guys have already fucking heard this. This is old ass news at this point. But New Jersey had a 4.8 magnitude earthquake that it was a shaky one, not a rolly one. And I felt it in Philadelphia, and I know people who felt it all the way up in Connecticut, because a 4.8 apparently goes something like 300 miles in any direction. And it was crazy. It lasted like 30 seconds. And it like I was sitting in my living room, and everything started shaking, and I was just thinking a truck was running, going down the street, running, driving down the street. And then my roommate and I looked at each other and we went, "Are we having an earthquake?"
Am
And
so
then
mad that I missed the earthquake. I keep missing the fucking earthquakes.
the texts start rolling in from everyone you know saying, "Did you just feel that? Did we just have an earthquake? Oh my God, did we just have an earthquake?" Like the work Slack was put on pause for a good half an hour while we just talked about the earthquake that only like 15 of us experienced. But it was really crazy, guys. Nothing bad happened to my knowledge. So God bless for that. But,
Yeah.
the everything did shake for 30 seconds and it was very, very exciting. We'll talk about it for years to come.
Well, I love that for you, not for me. No offense. I didn't
No
get to feel it, but whatever. Whatever.
groundbreaking environmental events for you, the universe said.
No.
That was such an awkward sentence to get
But
out of my mouth.
we're gonna knock on wood because I do not want any abnormal weather events to happen
No,
to
that's so
me.
true. That's so true.
But other than farming and being sad about the eclipse, I've literally just been playing dress up all day. And
And as
I've
you
been sending
should.
Tori my little dress up dolls that I'm using this Stardew Valley portrait creator. So they're like pixel art. And they're very cute, and I'm making them all date each other. And it's making me, reminisce about Girls Go Games, which leads us into the topic of this episode, which is our
This
childhood fandoms, part two.
little portrait creator is so reminiscent of not only Girls Go Games, but do you know those well, I know that you do, but dear listener, do you know those like selfie or avatar creators that people will make that they're all hand drawn? And a lot of times the controls are like in Japanese, I think, whatever website they're
Hit crew.
from. Yes.
Yes.
Everyone was posting those for like a while during the pandemic. Like, I think everyone had them as their icon on
Yes, I
Instagram.
did.
And they're so fun because, like, it literally just taps our childhood joy for making a picture look like you.
Yes.
And the feminine urge to dress up a digital doll when a physical doll is not available.
Yes. And for me, I like to test out different hair colors on my pixelized version of myself because I am too scared to dye my own hair. So we're gonna do it online.
Wait a second before we get into childhood fandoms, because as Carly said, we are doing part two to our episode about the things we loved as kids, which, if you haven't listened, that episode is called Webkinz Fangirls in Training. We talked about dolls mostly, some
Mainly.
websites. We talked about Barbie and American Girl and Club Penguin and especially Webkinz. But now that you mentioned the trying out different hair colors on yourself, it reminded me of something that I told you of briefly, but I didn't really get into. I'm not going to get into it, but I just need everyone to go watch a YouTube video called Stuck in a Island with Josh Hutcherson, where a fanfic writer from Wattpad beefs with their self insert in a Josh Hutcherson X original character stuck in a island fanfic. Genuinely one of the best things I've ever heard in my fucking life.
Stuck in a island.
Stuck in a island with Josh Hutcherson.
I
It
love Josh
iconic.
Hutcherson. I'm gonna
And
read it like non-ironically because I love Josh Hutcherson and I want to be stuck in an island, in a island with him.
please get it right. No, truly, like, should we start with jumping off with the Hunger Games? I know we've had so many discussions about the Hunger Games on this
Yes.
podcast, but the Hunger Games was kind of like maybe the last fandom I participated in pre-social media. Like, the Hunger Games was about when Instagram came out, which is crazy to think about, isn't it? That, like, we had life before Instagram. How good it was. Because I remember posting Hunger Games fan art on early Instagram where, like, you could just upload a photo and add a vignette, and that was it. Like, there was
Good
literally
times.
nothing else to the fucking app. I do remember that, but, like, the final movie wasn't even out at that point. So, the
But
Hunger
the Hunger
Games.
Games like really start. I mean, I wouldn't say it started dystopian because that is a genre that goes back many, many years, but it was
It started
the
YA
first,
dystopian.
yes, it was the first big young adult series. And it was probably one of the only good ones because if we
Yeah.
compare it to like Divergent.
Yeah. Let's bring it to a place of divergent. So let's just jump right into books from our childhood because I feel the show's part is going to go on longer than the book's part. So maybe we want to start with the books.
Let's start with books because we were both avid readers as kids.
Yes.
Like
Well, yes.
I remember I would go to the library every single week and get three books and read them all and then go back and get more books and read them all. Like now when I go to the library, I don't read any of the books that I get. I just return them unread. But I was like, that was my only hobby. I didn't have friends. I was reading.
I mean, reading, like, and truly. It's a very, like, looking back, very good hobby to have as a kid because, like, when you're a kid who reads a fuck ton, honestly, like, growing up and having better reading comprehension skills, clearly invaluable in today's society.
I don't know what. Now I'm thinking about our You've Never Met a Child episode, and I'm thinking that we should have been reading Dante's Inferno instead
Yeah,
of
I mean, Jesus Christ,
Divergent.
like, I picked up a dystopian novel and it had a romantic plot line, and I should have been reading Brave New World and I should have been reading 1984 and I should have had adult friends to guide me toward better knowledge.
Like Crime and Punishment would have hit so hard at 8 years old.
That's the reading The Great Gatsby at 12 years old and saying you get it vibe. We were those kids. Carly's favorite shirt was a The Great Gatsby t-shirt from Hot Topic.
And yes, I did fully understand all of the themes
And
present.
yes, you did. And you explained it to me, and I didn't read it. And then when I went to college and had to take an introductory literature class and we read The Great Gatsby, I was like, I know what The Great Gatsby's about. And I was fucking wrong. Because I was reiterating what Carly told me when we were 13.
I went through my clothes recently and I did decide to part with the Great Gatsby shirt from Hot Topic that I've had for like 12
Wow.
years. I mean, I've had it for 12 years, so I think it was time to go.
Yeah, a very thank you for your service kind of moment.
Yes.
Fun fact, spoiler alert, The Great Gatsby is gay and not about God. But anyway, so the books we read as kids, let's bring it to a place of Divergent. Divergent was so bad. And it was trying to do what the Hunger Games had by, like having, what were they called? Factions instead of
Yeah.
districts. It was so not veiled that it was like literally copying the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was the personality test era. So everyone in the
Yeah.
books got sorted into a faction. I don't remember what the test was. It didn't really make any sense. And then, like, if it was like one of them was called Candor, and that it was, oh, it was like very Harry Potter also. It was like Candor was Ravenclaw or Hufflepuff because,
Yeah.
like, they tell the fucking truth. And then I don't remember any of the others except for
Dauntless.
Dauntless,
And then
which
there
is where you go
was
if you're hot and cool and not afraid of anything. And as soon as you get Dauntless, you get tattoos.
the tattoos are reminiscent of the Shadowhunters
Oh my God.
runes, where they looked pretty much
How
exactly the same.
did I forget Shadowhunters for this list? We don't even have to get super into Divergent. All I want to say about Divergent is that when I was in the seventh grade, I w had to do a project for my English class, and it was like one of those things where they would give you a list of like 11 options of like creative projects, which we'll do an episode on education one day, and I will talk about how I actually think there's a lot of value in giving students choices on what their assignment is. But one of the options was like, assign songs to every chapter of the book. And boy, did they not know what they were unleashing onto the world because Eight Tracks was just about to hit the scene. But I even back then was the kind of reader where I would listen to one specific thing while I read a book. And like from then on, that music is associated with that book. And God bless the year 2012. It was the album All This Bad Blood by Bastille associated with the Divergent series.
You
And
were in the Bastille
I
fandom.
was in the Bastille fandom. And I turned in an assignment to my seventh grade teacher assigning one of every Bastille's songs from that album to a chapter of Divergent. And let me just tell you, the fact that a 12-year-old was turning in a thing about like a song called Laura Palmer and being like, this is a reference to a David Lynch TV show from the 90s. She must have been like, this girl is going to be grow up to be so fucked.
But Divergent did do it to us. Like, I think it was just that it was written like fan fiction almost. It would like it had
Very much so.
everything. Like, I remember it had like a rescuing moment, and
Yes.
then
It
the
had a love triangle.
fears, yes, a love triangle. It had those like the fear dream. Not it wasn't like a
Yeah.
dream, but it was like they had to like conquer their fears like
Yeah.
in like a digital universe or something. It was crazy. And then I remember that
It's
the books just
crazy.
kept getting worse, and then the
I
movies were just abhorrent.
actually only ever saw the first movie. I never saw the rest. We should watch them.
I've been trying to find this screen cap from the last movie because I watched oh, Mike's Mike. He's a YouTuber, and he does like movie recaps, and he did one for Allegiant, and it's like the Divergent one was a little bit longer, and then this one, it was like a 5-minute video because he was like, this was just like unwatchable. But I actually do need to find this because I need to show you.
Okay. Something funny I remember about Divergent is the first time Carly and I talked about this series, we had a moment where we realized that Carly and I pronounced one of the characters'
No,
names
not
very
I was
differently.
thinking Tobias.
Yeah,
And now
so
I have fully unlearned Tobias, and I do think of it as Tobias now, but it was a long time that I was thinking Tobias, and I could not think of it any other way.
The first time Carly and I talked about it, she said Tobias, and I was like, back up. What did you just call him? Because
Was I supposed to know? How was I supposed to know?
I'll give a reason that I think I knew is that I think one of the characters in The Giver is named Tobias. And so I think
Okay.
I talked about it in a class, so I recognized the name. Okay, you just texted me a screen. What the fuck am I looking at? Oh my God, that's Shailene Woodley melting into a pile of butter, it appears. I'm gonna
I
post this
just
on
love it.
the Instagram. What am
I
I?
need
What is going on in this
I'm making
image?
this your contact photo. If
Stop.
only it was
Okay.
before April Fool's and we can change all of our profile pictures to this on every social
That
media
would
we
be
have.
so funny. I fear we need to move on from Divergent.
Unfortunately, we don't have the
And
time.
you were right about Shadowhunters. I don't even have it in me to get into how obsessed I was with that series for the 3 weeks it took me
Yeah.
to read the whole thing. And
And
then when the
there were a lot
show
of
came
books.
out, okay, it
There
was
was a movie
six
too.
books. Yes, there was a movie with Lily Collins.
Yes.
God damn, the casting in the early 2010s was just mwah. Also, the casting for Divergent being Shailene Woodley, Miles Teller, and whoever the fuck played Tobias.
He was in White Lotus.
Yeah, it's that hot
Theo
Australian
James, I think.
actor. Yes.
He is hot. He's
Yeah,
pretty
he
hot.
is. The casting for the Shadowhunters show was diabolical. They could not have casted it any worse than they did.
Yeah. It was
Because
giving very low production. Like,
the original movie had, oh my God, what is that actor's name from?
the guy who played Jace.
Yes, with the
I
curly
can
blonde
only think,
hair.
I think it's Jamie something, and I can only
Yes.
think Jamie Lynn Spears, but I know
No,
it's
no,
not Jamie
no,
Lynn Spears.
no, no. It's, oh, what is his name? He's in Stranger Things.
He's also in
Jamie
Twilight.
Campbell Bauer.
He's
He
in
also
Twilight
was
too.
in that movie where he had no hair and he was like scary. You know
The
what I
evil bald guy. Evil
mean?
bald. It's a trope.
But what was that movie called? Hold on, now I'm looking for it. I want to say it was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but I know that's not what it was. This search is not going well, and I'm wasting precious time.
Alex Pettifer, I think that's his name.
Yes! It was Alex Pettifer.
Beastly.
Yes. Oh my God. Thank you.
With Vanessa
He is
Hudgens.
gorgeous. He is handsome.
Even bald.
Even bald. Proof that a bald man can be sexy sometimes. Anyway, the Shadowhunter series was six books. That after the third book, the author put out a prequel trilogy called Infernal Devices. And I did read it, first three Mortal Instruments, Infernal Devices, then the second three of the Mortal Instruments, the order that it was published. And that series is wild. The
Yeah.
lore is so insane. It's like steampunk, but then there's incest, and then surprise, it's not actually incest. It's fine. But like,
Oh, the
it's
incest plot line was
wild.
quite crazy.
They ran with that so long into the series, and like, the characters had already like kissed after they found out they were siblings, but then it turned out they weren't siblings, so it was fine. But like, we're talking brother, sister, not even like related cousins.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough. You
but
know, actually, a lot of the fantasy YA novels that I read had a little bit of incest in them. Like, why were we
right.
throwing incest everywhere?
There was just something about dystopia where they're like, well, everyone has to be related.
I do want to talk about the Gone series because I don't think you read it, but this was
No.
definitely my favorite fantasy series. And it was I definitely talked to you about this when we were
You
younger
definitely
because
did. Is this the one where they lived underground?
no, but it is, they lived under a dome. Not to be confused with Stephen King's Under the Dome, which
I
I
was going to
also
say, because
liked.
Under the Dome, you loved.
And I loved it because it was like Gone, because they were also under a dome.
Okay.
But what happens in the series is all of a sudden everybody over the age of 15 disappears and there's a dome over the town. And then shit ensues. They
Like,
also,
what a
there's
way to write a YA, to be like, hey guys, mysteriously, everyone who's not a preteen is gone.
It was definitely so that they could all have sex.
Yeah, like dead ass.
But then they figured out a way to stay. So also when they turned 15, they would disappear, but they figured out a way to stay. But they had powers. They also starved, so there was some cannibalism in there. Gotta throw that in there too. It was like, looking back, I remember it being amazing. Who knows? Who knows if it actually was amazing? But I loved that kind of fantasy where it was kind of like integrated into real life. Like, I didn't love the high fantasy stuff, and I think that's still kind of the case. But I also loved a lot. Like, we just can't get into all of the fantasy series that we read. At least I read so many.
I
I
read
read a
so
lot.
many.
I think my favorite, like, subgenre, because I read werewolf, I read vampire, but my favorite was Fallen Angel. I read so many Fallen Angel
I think
series.
I only read one of those.
I think Fallen Angel was definitely my go-to.
I
I loved a
remember
Fallen Angel.
reading a book. Well, I was big on like just buy whatever at the Scholastic Book Fair looked like the least age appropriate. And so I did read a book that was called like Once Dead, Twice Shy, and it was about like a girl
Okay.
who died and then was a ghost. And but it was like there was themes of angel, I don't know. But I definitely was also into set in real world fantasy, which like damn, we were so primed to become the Raven Cycle fans.
I
Like we
know.
literally are the target audience. And my favorite personally was the Sisters Grimm. I don't remember how I got into this series. Like I don't remember if like it was in a classroom or at a Scholastic Fair, but there were a lot of these books and I read all of them. I don't know if we did we know each other when I was reading that book series, or was that before then? Do
We
you
knew each other in
remember?
middle school, so.
I don't remember if I read it in middle school, if I read it in elementary school, to be honest, though. But anyway, it was a I was very into fairy tales as a kid, but like specifically like the realistic version of the fairy tales. Which everything just makes sense later in life, the way that I am. But it was about these two sisters who turns out are like descendants of Wilhelm Grimm. And they have access to like the other side where all the fairy tales are real. And they keep going between worlds. And it's very crazy. I'd almost be curious to like reread one of them now and see if the like intrigue holds up.
I did try to reread a series that I read back way back when. It was Maggie Stiefvater's first series, called Shiver,
The
and they were
Scorpio
about
Maiden.
werewolves.
Oh.
They're about werewolves. It is called Shiver, Linger, and Forever, I think. And it was like, she's still a great writer. Like, she was a great writer then, but it's definitely geared towards a younger audience that I just didn't hold my attention as much. Like, the prose just wasn't as complicated as I guess I would want it to be.
They are making a show out of that series, though, aren't they? Or a movie?
I doubt that it's actually going to be made. Because it's the same thing that happened with the Raven Cycle, where somebody did buy the rights, but they never ended up making it. But
The Raven Cycle died during casting because Maggie was like, this is not going to work.
And thank God for that.
Yeah, truly. But the Sisters Grimm was definitely my favorite. I also loved Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
That was a good one. I didn't read that one until later on. but
I
it
think I
was
read
very
it in
good.
early high school or like end of middle school. It really was very good and like definitely came just as like I established an interest in the paranormal, and I was reading, like I said, like a lot of fairy tale series. So these like kind of like folklore, mythological, like tall tale kind of integrations into real life were very appealing to me. And I also then started to, honestly, this is like Miss Peregrine's might be like why I'm into like psych horror now, to be honest with you, because then Wattpad hit the scene in 2013. And when Wattpad first became a thing before it became like the child fan fiction site, it actually was supposed to be for people to like self-publish stories.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And I did read like a couple like books on Wattpad, and one I remember very vividly was called Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, and it was like a possession type story. And you know, looking back, I'm sure it wasn't that well written, but it was quite interesting. And I just it's so funny to like realize how many things I was into as a kid that like set me up to be a horror fan.
Yeah, and that reminds me of another. So I liked Fallen Angel, but another I feel like you can tell where this is going, but you might not. Is it the Siren Mermaid?
Oh no, I'm looking at our notes and I thought this was gonna go down the road of plot line is just having depression.
No.
But the
We'll get
Siren
there.
Mermaid is so real. Talk your shit on this.
Okay. I was obsessed with sirens. We have not talked about the book that we were writing in middle school, and that is something that we will have to get to another time.
That
But
will be a paywalled episode. That is private.
yeah, we cannot have anybody finding that. But we both had reader insert characters in this like book that we were planning,
They weren't
and
even reader insert. They were like,
they
they
were
were our
named
first
after us.
names. Oh,
And my character was a siren who like ate boys' hearts quite literally.
dude.
And but there was a series that was about sirens, and it did heavily inspire this character that we had planned. And I mean, this is actually a good segue into other mermaid fandoms that we were a part of. I also read the Emily Windsnap books. I don't know if you read those, but they were
Shut up.
so
You just
good.
unlocked a memory so deep into my psyche. Oh my God. I feel like full of life all of a sudden. Like that series was so good. And might I note, was for some reason, I was like, I want to live on a houseboat so bad.
No, actually, like living on Aspen would not be so bad. Like, do I get seasick? Yes. That's not going to be a problem because I'm going to be a mermaid.
Me getting cabin fever in my like 700 square foot city apartment and then being like, I want to live on a houseboat.
But you have the whole ocean to be a mermaid in.
But like that series was so good. Like the imagery was so vivid. I remember doing school projects on the Emily Windsnap series. School book reports were so fun, weren't they? In elementary
Yes.
school,
I do remember
dioramas.
doing them on. I really liked, I think his name was Jerry Springer. He was an
No,
author.
not Jerry Springer. Jerry
Is he? Did he wrote?
Spinelli.
Oh,
Jerry Springer was only.
not the former mayor of Cincinnati. What? I looked up Jerry Springer, and the first result was former mayor.
No, Jerry Springer was a late night host.
And also the former mayor of Cincinnati,
You're
unless
thinking
that's
of
the
Jerry
same person.
Spinelli.
Okay, yes, Jerry Smith. He wrote Stargirl.
Everyone shits on that book now, and I remember liking
It's
it.
because it got made into a Disney Plus like
Oh,
show. That's probably
whatever.
why. But
That was the OG Paper Towns.
yes, and he was a good writer. I loved Stargirl, but I remember reading his one of these other books called
He had another book,
Ringer.
something about. Oh, I was thinking it's something about fire, isn't it?
He had a lot. I really liked him as an author. I read Eggs, which I think got turned into a movie. And then he had Don't Put Your Hair in My Toothbrush. And I distinctly remember doing a book report on that book. But Ringer was crazy. It was about this whole town that like they like wrung the necks of like birds. I don't know. It was
We
crazy.
loved a book series about a town with something fundamentally wrong about it. We loved a
Yes.
town. It couldn't be an individual, it had to be the whole community.
Yes, which leads me into depression books because I love the depression book. And I do think Stargirl is kind of a depression book or like a social anxiety book. Like, but looking through my Goodreads in preparation for this episode to see like what I read, it's like books about school shootings, books about like somebody whose entire family dies, lots of orphans, lots of orphans. Like,
Can I
so
title
many
this
orphans.
episode Lots of Orphans?
Like, and like, why was I so obsessed with being an orphan? Like, I was like, I wanted to be an orphan. Like, I was projecting
Sick,
onto these
ugly,
characters.
homeless slacker. You guys, that's a deep inside joke that we're not explaining. Just take it at face value.
Yeah. But a lot of the books I read were just about real like depression
It's
and like people
so,
that were like suicidal.
it's honestly kind of funny that like the books we were into were so dark.
Yeah, like when we did that episode, we were saying, oh, like that would be bad if we had read those books. But we were reading
Yeah, like
the young adult
truly.
equivalent of Dante's Inferno and Crime and Punishment.
I remember reading this one. Wait, let me see if I can find what it was called. I'm remembering the cover very vividly because any book you could sell a preteen girl that had a girl in a ball gown facing away and running, I was fucking buying at Barnes and Noble.
Loved that.
But there was a book called The Vespertine that I remember so vividly, and I never finished reading it. That's what I remember, but I can't remember this one. It was like it was a maze and someone had died and they had to cover all the mirrors in the estate, of course, because there had to be an estate. I'll go back to my parents' house. I know that it's on a shelf. Oh my God, no, wait. Maybe it's not. Maybe I donated it. Oh my God, I'm gonna have to go through my Goodreads once I remember my password and see what it was called, because I think I probably logged that one. But if anyone remembers a book about a girl who inherits an estate where they cover all the mirrors, and then there's a maze in the backyard. That honestly might be the reason that I love Over the Garden Wall, because of that one episode where they're in the mansion that is so big that two people don't know they're living in it.
It reminds me of like ads I see on my Sudoku app for phone games.
For like haunted mansion phone games. Which was another trope I loved on Girls Go Game, was the Halloween ones in like a mansion that were spooky.
Yes.
But like I loved an unsettling book, clearly. But then when it came to shows, I loved like happy, silly things, like Back to a Place of Sirens and Mermaids. One of the best movies to come out of the 2000s was Aquamarine.
I had this on DVD and trust, I was watching it every
And
chance I
trust.
got. Like it was Titanic and Aquamarine and like 12 Dancing Princesses, the Barbie movie.
Oh my God, I also had a children's book that was a really dark take on the 12 Dancing Princesses. I wonder if I can
You
dig
loved
up the
your
title of
fairy
that.
tales and
I did. There was also one I
fables.
read that was about like the wishing fountain or something like that, and it was a take on Bluebeard. It was
Okay.
scary. I loved these books. My parents probably should have monitored what I read a little bit more closely. But back to A Place of Aquamarine. That movie, the worst thing that came out of it was convincing a generation of girls that you could wear a men's button-up shirt as a tube top dress.
I did not put those two things together until you just said that. And now I'm looking back at my outfit choices and thinking, was
Like,
this all inspired by aquamarine?
truly, Tumblr indie sleaze could not have existed if Aqua did not have to tie that white boy's shirt around her after she accidentally turned into a mermaid at the state fair.
It was so good though. Like, I
Was such a
want
good
to rewatch it
movie.
now.
We should. That's like a fun girls' movie night.
One of my favorite movies to watch at a girls' night is Ella Enchanted. I don't know if you.
I loved Ella Enchanted. What a great movie. Anne Hathaway
I mean,
always
she
stuns
did
a new
that. She did
selfie.
that. That was a beautiful, perfect movie, 100%.
I mean, and then it has the singing dance break to Somebody to Love.
Yes.
It's got fairy godmothers. It's got the fucking Hall of Mirrors with the dagger. So fucking good. That is a good movie.
Yes. Also, speaking of mermaids, we have H2O, which we must mention. I mean, H2O has been around on TikTok recently. Like, it's been, I mean, maybe not recently, but it has been coming back into the public consciousness. And I want everybody to know that I never forgot about H2O.
Well, H2O went on to Netflix during the pandemic, and that's when everyone started saying Nor. That's where that comes from, is the Nor clear, not the water. Like, because that show was iconic for also that is Phoebe Tonkin's claim to fame.
Phoebe Tonkins.
Carly and I have a deep history with Phoebe Tonkin.
If I ever find like my old laptop from like 2014, I will find so many gifts of Phoebe
I
Tonkin.
have, well, first of all, I have access to our old shared email that has all the gifts of Phoebe Tonkin, so trust they are there. And two, my laptop from middle school, high school, I have all on an external hard drive, so I guarantee we could like find it all. Also, I scrolled through my Goodreads. I found the book I was talking about. Sorry to
No,
divert
it's
one
okay.
last time. It was called Amber House. And in fact, it is a girl in a ball gown running into a maze. I kind of want to like reread all the books I read back then just to see. Oh, I also read one called 13 Secrets. This was about fairies. I could do a whole episode on books about fairies and fairy lore.
Yes.
I wish there were more TV shows about that, but like the fairy lore is so sinister because it's
Yeah.
like there's always changelings and then there's fairy rings and it's like fairies play by like really fucked up rules. Anyway, sorry, back to mermaids.
Oh, wait, I wanted to mention, I did read a series about trolls, and it was actually one of my favorites. And the only thing that made her a troll was that she did not like to wear shoes. And then
Wait.
when she found out that she was a troll, she went to live underground.
That's
But
iconic.
it was iconic, and it was actually very good. It
Did either of
was very
us
good.
ever read that book that had the girl in the blue ball gown on the cover that it was like
Yes.
eating up at Barnes and Noble? What was that book called?
Matched. It was like
Yes,
Match. And oh
I
yes,
think. It's being made into a movie now, right?
there were so many book series that were basically just like love is illegal, like everybody needs to be matched and having arranged marriages, but no, true love will prevail.
This is not the book I was thinking of, but that one you're correct about. I'm thinking of a different one though, that maybe it was a
I think
princess.
Matched is the one that I had as my text
She's
signature. That was Kai,
Kai,
we're
we're not
not alone.
alone. This
This
is
is
back
getting too
when.
personal, this episode.
The Selection by Kira
Oh, yes,
Cass.
I did read this. I did read
Was it
this.
good? I never read
I
it.
thought it was good. It is kind of like a lot of the other ones where it's like
Girl on
arranged
cover in ball
marriage
gown.
thing. Girl on, that's got to be the title of the episode.
Girl in cover in girl on cover in ball gown.
Yeah.
That's
It's
so
just like
funny.
it's just true.
And I love how we only talked about that for like a couple minutes. We went on and on about mermaids. Okay, you know what? We had planned for this episode to be about books and TV shows from our childhood, but I fear we have too many books to segue ourselves over into TV shows, especially when there is a TV show that we need to talk about so in depth that it's actually just going to be an entire episode of its own.
Yeah.
So, put House of Anubis on your fucking calendar. Watch it on Netflix. We will return to it soon. We're going to keep going about books
Yeah.
because there's just too many. Like, we keep coming back to ones
Yeah.
that we
I mean,
remember, and
like we
we
said,
gotta get back.
we were avid readers. We were reading,
Yeah,
reading.
we were in the pages. Okay, wait. Now that we've decided to focus on books alone, let me just read out some of the titles that I did find in my Goodreads of books that I kept saying, I read something like this, and now I've found them all. Okay. Some of the books I read included Amber House, Girl in Ball Gown in Front of Maze, 13 Secrets, which was the fairy one, Entwined, which was another girl in ball gown running away. I also read one, The Wish Stealers. That was the one that I think was like a Bluebeard type. I remember it being scary. The Amaranth Enchantment, another girl in ball gown on
Okay.
cover. Don't even remember. Oh, well, yes, it is a magical book where she is orphaned as a young child when her parents left for a royal ball.
The orphans are
They're
everywhere.
they are always orphans. Oh, look, another girl in ball gown on cover called Wondrous Strange. Don't remember what that was about, but I know I read it. And then this is when my reading list starts turning into The Infernal Devices and Lolita. But then we have Amber House
Lolita.
number two, which is another girl in ball gown running away. This episode is gonna be so fucking chaotic to listen to, but I just had to run through some of those titles because it is very important to me to know how many girl in ball gown books I
I
read.
mean, my Goodreads is not that thorough. I did not record that many books. I just looking back, I was like, okay, that one is definitely about suicide, just based on the way it looks.
Oh, well, I didn't read off the titles that are definitely about suicide, like Choke and Defriended.
Oh my
But here we have Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, the Light as a Feather series number one.
that one get published?
I don't know, it's on Goodreads, but it
Oh.
might just be on Wattpad. I don't know, it hasn't.
Okay.
Oh, no, it says paperback.
Well, good for
Damn.
her. I did want to talk about some of the books I read earlier on, like definitely early on in elementary
Yes.
school, because Junie B. Jones was my girl.
Oh, wait. Never mind. I'm thinking of Amelia Bedelia because that's also so fucking funny.
I also loved Amelia Bedelia. Like she
You
was
talk about Junie B.
quirky.
Jones. We loved a quirky girl.
Judy P. Jones was definitely autistic.
Quirky girl apologist books.
Yeah, and I just loved her. Like I did not relate to her really at all because I was very quiet, and I don't think she was very quiet. But I did love her, and I loved the books that were written about her. I think it was just like girl in first grade. I was like, I am girl in
Yeah.
first grade.
I remember drawing those covers, like tracing them, but also teaching myself to draw the cover identically. That was a big thing when you were a reader of a series, was can I draw this cover identically on
Yes.
another piece of printer paper?
I also loved Cam Jansen, and Cam Jansen, it was like, if I remember it correctly, it was a little bit like mystery, like kind of like a detective But the one thing I do remember about Cam Janssen was that she had photographic memory. And because she had photographic memory, that means I wanted to have photographic memory. And so I
Exactly.
trained myself to have photographic memory. And like I would just like take pictures in my head and be like, all right, this is me having photographic memory.
This
Did
is
it
me
work?
having POV. You have photographic memory.
And you know what? At least I tried, you know? At least I tried. I loved the Cam Janssen books. I also loved Katie Kazoo. Katie Kazoo Switcheroo. She
I
could
don't
switch
know this
bodies
one
with people.
either.
She would switch bodies with people, and it was just like each book was kind of her switching bodies with a different person. So some of them was Katie Kazoo Switcheroo, A Whirlwind Vacation. Katie Kazoo Switcheroo, Don't Be Such a Durkey. I don't know what that one's about. But in each book, she would switch places with a different person. And I love those too. She also, I'll show you like the covers because I just love the art style on it. If again, it was about the covers.
It's always about the covers. I'm really mad. Once again, I am looking for a meme that I can't find.
I'm so
And
sorry.
I checked all of my Tumblr DMs. Anyway, it was a Tumblr text post that said, like, the YouTube community has been struck with tragedy today as Amelia Bedelia was informed to hang streamers.
Oh my God. Oh, Amelia.
Oh my God, these covers are so cute. Did you ever read the Pinkalicious series?
I'm not sure.
It was like a little girl who was just obsessed with the color pink, and then there was Purplicious.
Oh, yes, I'm looking at it. Yes, I do remember.
I
I remember
love
seeing these at the Scholastic Book Fair. Berg.
Mercury.
We are a part of the Scholastic Book Fair fandom.
Wait, dead ass, I am part of the Scholastic Book Fair fandom.
I remember a book I got from the Scholastic Book Fair called Savvy, and it was this family, and everybody had a power, but it was except for the youngest child who like didn't have a power yet, which is there is a Disney movie that it has similar vibes.
I
But
wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking about what that says about your psyche to like want to read a book where everyone in your family is special but
Okay, well, you didn't need to mention that. But I remember like there was this one part that like very much stuck with me because I still remember it now, where the mother, her special power was that she was perfect. And so everything she did perfectly. Okay, we're not going to get into the specifics and like the like actually how this plays out in real life. But when she met her husband, how they met was he said like, "Oh, if you miss, I'm going to like go out with you." And they were playing like some carnival game. And so in the book they wrote that she missed perfectly. And because the whole thing was that she had to be perfect. So the whole thing is that she was gonna make it, but then it subverted. It's like she
That's
missed
cute.
perfectly. And I just loved that. And I do remember that book.
That's a
But I do
fire line
remember
for a fan fiction.
I do remember seeing that at the Scholastic Book Fair and reading the back and being like, this is something I need for no particular reason.
Should we bring it to a place of Dork Diaries?
I had never read Dork Diaries, so you're gonna have to take this one.
You never read the Dork Diaries?
Didn't. I'm
Oh,
sorry.
my lore with the Dork Diaries runs so deep. Okay.
Are we gonna unpack that? Why it runs so deep with you?
We could. So, the Dork Diaries is the girl version of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, wherein the book looks like a notebook, like the cover printed looks like a almost like a marble. Is that what they're called? Marble notebook?
Composition books.
The marble composition books. And the internal is written like a diary. Except there's all these like drawings throughout it in like a very specific style that is very reminiscent of this one Sunday cartoon strip that I can't remember the name of, but back then I was also very into the Sunday comics. So I loved that like art style being in a book. And anyway, it was this girl who was like kind of an outcast, which is certainly why it called to me because I was being bullied in elementary school. And she just like it would be like the tales of her like trying to make people like her and then fucking up and then like writing about it in her diary and having to like work through things. It was honestly like probably for that period in my life, like honestly, probably pretty good to be reading a series where a character struggling with like interpersonal re relationships is like trying to work through their reactions and like their emotional, because the book set up like a diary, like 100% inspired me to keep my own very detailed diary. But anyway, they would put out new books constantly, and they were kind of expensive because they were hardbacks. By expensive, I mean they were probably like $18 each. And I recall that my mom would buy them for me at Sam's Club because they were the cheapest at Sam's Club, and they would come out like the week of. And I was maybe like a little bit too old to be reading them. I was reading them in like fifth grade, and they were maybe for like third graders. I was also just like, not to brag, but I had a very high reading comprehension level. And I would pick it up at Sam's Club and be done reading it by the end of the day
I
for
love that.
$18. And that's what the library is for, but not when you're me and addicted to collecting books. So anyway, like it was just this, like, I don't know, maybe the character was set in elementary or middle school, maybe. And yeah, she like had enemies, but like in her diary, she would have to confront like whether she was being judgmental to her enemies or like if they were actually being mean to her, if she was being insecure. And like it was just, anyway, I took it very to heart and then was like, I need to keep a diary that has like jokes and drawings in it. Except I wasn't good at drawing like what had happened to me that day. Whereas like in this series, like it had, you know, like illustrations that were based, they were
Also,
illustrations.
they were also illustrations made by a professional
Yes.
illustrator, not
Right.
a third grader.
And I was so dedicated to keeping a day-by-day diary. And this again should have been my parents' signal that I had OCD. But if I did not write in my diary that night, I would write on a post-it note what things happened that day so that I could write about it the next night so that there would never be a gap in my diary. I would retroactively write about the day before and then also that day so that it had every single day. And then when I fell behind too much, I just stopped diarying altogether. It says a
No
lot about
OCD
me.
detected.
No, and it actually literally took me up until like maybe a few months ago to get comfortable with like journaling only when I feel like it. Blame that on the Dork Diaries. But it just, the illustration style was so cute. And I'm like, I have a very fond spot for that series in my heart. It's just like, I think it honestly maybe was like a comfort for me
I get
because
that.
she was like the odd one out and I was getting bullied severely in elementary school. Something to know about me is that I was bullied.
And meanwhile, I was getting comfort in books about suicide.
Well, in fact, I was being bullied because of books I was reading a lot of the time. I did get bullied for reading Harry Potter, which feels like a weird, like in retrospect, you're like, oh my God, like a kid reading a kid series. And now I look back and I'm like, well, maybe they were ahead of the curve. For bullying people for reading Harry
Yeah,
Potter.
listeners, you will notice that we have not mentioned Harry Potter thus far because why would we?
We're done. We're done. That topic has, it's canceled. The topic is
Is
canceled from the
canceled.
pod.
If cancel culture were real, that would be the first thing to get
Thing to
canceled.
go. Ever since we did that episode where we just listed off things we're canceling, saying that's canceled has become part of my vocabulary. To the point where, like, I'm alone in my kitchen, something's pissing me off, and I'm like, God, I wish I could just cancel that. Like,
I want to cancel waking up from a nap sweaty and uncomfortable.
you're so real for that. We didn't get into John Green books. in this
I feel like
episode.
we've decided before that that would be its own episode.
Yeah,
But
so much.
listeners, trust, we were on the John Green
I
shit.
mean, that was literally like peak book about suicide was Looking for Alaska.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And it was also well written, like,
Oh,
actually.
for the time, I think I've said this on the pod before. I like actively fear rereading Looking for Alaska and finding out that it was not good because it was my favorite book at 13, which what the fuck does that say about me? That and well, we don't even have time to get into the 13 reasons why it was the cultural significance of 13 reasons
No.
why. But
Even A Fault in
no,
Our Stars, like
guys, I wonder if I still have anywhere the Teespring campaign t-shirt I bought that a fan on Tumblr made for The Fault in Our Stars that. I also had a Hot Topic one that said, "My thoughts are stars, I can't turn into constellations," which John Green fucking ate with that one. But Looking for Alaska, 13 Reasons Why, like these are the kind of like older, almost teen books we were into. I feel like it's a little concerning now looking back how many like fucked up magical stories I was reading before the age of 13 years old, like
Yeah.
little bit too malleable of a brain.
Yeah. And it's not our fault. What about all these authors that are like making these books for young adult audiences,
Yeah.
knowing that these are the themes that they're putting in there, and not always with,
Tact.
grace or tact. That's
Yeah.
the word I was looking for. Like a lot of the Fallen Angel books, especially, it was a lot of corruption kink going on. And like I'm saying corruption kink because I'm on Tumblr.com. Like I know what I'm talking about.
I just saw a post, like not even 2 days ago, that said, like, devotion that turns into corruption is my favorite plot line. And I was like, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and I was consuming that content at 13 years old.
We clearly were into some dark themes, which when we do a childhood TV shows episode, it will become even more clear why I am the way I am. But like the books, I'm truly so excited that you brought up the Mermaid book series. I forgot about it entirely.
They hold such a special place in my heart because I wanted to be a mermaid so bad. And I think many a girl at the age of 13 wanted to be a mermaid.
I mean, look, when we were 11 years old and wanting to be a mermaid, that is an appropriate age to want to be a mermaid because in the mid 2010s, millennial women in their late 20s were being like, I just want to be a mermaid. And that was weird. But we were of the right age to be wishing we were mermaids.
Yes. And you know what? I still want to be. Now
I
I am the millennial woman saying that I want to be a mermaid.
honestly, oh my God. I've been wanting to make a book nook for my shelf. I really want to get into miniatures. I think that's my next hobby to
Yep.
hyperfixate on. But I'm thinking of all the dioramas I made as a kid with like air dry clay and popsicle stick fences out of a shoebox. I'm thinking specifically of the one I made about R.L. Stine's Goosebumps books because I didn't even get into that, but I fucking loved Goosebumps. I
Love.
read all of them. And I just, dioramas, you can make those as adults, and you just get to call it a
Yes.
miniature.
I have one that I have not done at all.
I want one because they're so cheap at Hobby Lobby, but I don't want to go to Hobby Lobby because
Yeah.
they're racist and every other ist in the book.
I follow a few people that like make dollhouses on Instagram, and it is very enticing where I'm like,
Yeah.
this could be a hobby. Not that I don't already have enough hobbies, but
Right. But like I follow this one woman on TikTok who is specifically making a haunted dollhouse that's like
ooh.
I'll send you her account but She's making this house that has like a whole story, and it's like it's also kind of like a mystery that she's like
Oh,
adding clues
I
for,
love that.
and now it's turning into a whole town. And since she's been building out the town, she made this church sign miniature, and everyone, it hit Ethel Kane TikTok so fast, and everyone was like, hey, can you make the sign say God loves you but not enough to save you? And now she's selling miniatures like in a bell jar of this church sign that says God loves you but not enough to save you, and every one of them has a different Ethel Kane Easter egg like item. Like it's got like missing
Wow.
posters of her, and then like miniatures of like a doll or like a, oh my God, I'm so obsessed with her TikTok that I'm like, I want to make miniatures. And I
We
think
just want to be playing with dolls again.
this like episode, this is like becoming a series now, I suppose, but like talking about the things you loved as a kid is so good for your soul.
Yeah,
Because
we're healing our inner child.
I saw a quote on Tumblr once, and I also saw it on TikTok, and I think maybe we talked about it on our like hopeful advice episode, but it was saying that you think as you grow up that getting older should mean getting further away from your child self, when in fact growing up can mean getting closer to your child self and doing the things that you loved then, because those were like your true enjoyments and
Yeah.
passions. And it's true, if you just grow up and like reconnect with the things you loved as a kid, it really does spark so much joy.
Yeah. Maybe we need to do a series, like some sort of episode where we reread our some of our favorite books and recap them. Because I'm sure that there's a lot that we're not remembering, especially with these fantasy books. Like they were unhinged at times.
No, I think that would be really fun if we did, like, y'all let us know if you would like this, if like each of us read one book from our childhood and then we like recap the plot line.
That would be so fun. And it would also get us to read.
I so desperately now want to reread all of the Girl in Ball Gown books, especially like
Girl
the 12 Dancing
in
Princesses one, because I remember being fucked up, and I want to see, like, maybe that's why that psych horror book I read back in October, like,
Yeah.
literally got me to stop reading for 6 months. Maybe it just triggered something deep inside
Well,
me.
I've said this before on the pod, I'm pretty sure, but I've been wanting to get back into reading fantasy because realistic fiction, it's just not doing it for me anymore. It feels like all of the books that I'm drawn to are kind of the same, like they're the same sort of characters, or it's the same sort of themes where there's a lot more variation that could happen in a fantasy setting. It is a little bit harder to find a fantasy book that would appeal to, a 24-year-old woman. But please give us your recommendations. We do have an email now, so
So true. You
we're gonna be
guys,
back on our reading shit.
yeah, email us your book suggestions. Our dream for this podcast is to start a book club,
Yes, we have
in
talked
some
about this.
form. And so, look, I'm just going to say it. I'm willing to read the Sarah J. Maas series, but I want a fantasy series for the plot and not just for the fairy sex. Okay.
Yeah. Period.
That's a bonus, but realistic fiction about people being depressed is getting depressing. I want to read fantasy series about
Yeah.
people being depressed.
Exactly. We need to combine all of our interests, including depression and mermaids.
Dude, that's the next book. We should start writing again.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. We are so excited to have you here and hope you tune in again next time. Meanwhile, you can follow us on social media. Our Instagram is at xtumblrgirlspod, and we, of course, have a Tumblr. You can find us there at xpodcastgirls.tumblr.com. And we kindly ask that if you're enjoying the pod to give us a rate or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps us connect with the rest of the world's ex-Tumblr girls. Come, join, be our bestie, and we will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.